Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Lift up the mighty name of Jesus. For the Lord is great. He's greatly to be praised. Amen. Turn around and give three people a high five and tell them, hey, I'm blessed. Tell them I'm blessed. Yes, you are. If you have your Bibles, would you go to the book of Esther, chapter 9? And it is great to see all of you, and you're a guest here tonight. We welcome you to the house of the Lord. I just want to communicate to you so that you know what's going on. Our team has met several months back, and we decided as a team that we were going to omit Family Fun Weekend this year. So we're not going to do it this year. What we are going to do instead of Family Fun Weekend is the Incredible Tournament that got canceled back several months ago due to the weather. We're going to actually do that on October the 27th. And that is on a Sunday. And so what we're going to do is we're going to come and have church. And just like we did on Family Fun Weekend, we came, we had great church, and then we dismissed service that particular night. What we'll do on October the 27th is we'll come Sunday morning, we'll have service, and then we're going to go out to the ball field, and we're just going to be together and enjoy the goodness of the Lord and have a great time. And our youth are going to, I believe, probably have brisket sandwiches, chips, and a drink, and sell that to raise funds for She's for Christ. Okay, so that's just going to be a cool day. It's going to be a little different, but it's going to be cool. And then prayerfully next year, we're going to make Family Fun Weekend even better and bigger than ever. So just wanted you to know that. All right, I'm going to say a little bit of humor. Ladies, please don't take offense. It's just humor. That's all it is. Okay? All right, so the husband and the wife, they have a fight, and the wife calls up the mom and says, Mom, he's fought with me again. Me and him fought. We fought again, and I'm coming to live with you. And the mom says, no, darling, he must pay for his mistakes. I'm coming to live with you. All right, if you have your Bibles, go to the book of Esther, chapter 9 and verse 1. I want the NIV version up on your screen. Let's read together. On the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, the edict commanded by the king was to be carried out. On this day, the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them, but now the tables were turned and the Jews got the upper hand over those who hated them. I will not go into how that I received this word, but it was a unique deal, how that I received this word, how the Lord spoke to my spirit. And I believe that I have a word from the Lord tonight. And I pray that you will receive it as such. Let's pray together. Father, for the next few minutes, anoint our minds and our mouth and help us to speak into the very heart and the fabric of this great church, that we will receive your word and, Lord, that a corner will be turned and that we're going to feel the effects of it in the name of Jesus. And everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Have you ever heard the expression, the tables are turned? Well, I began to research that and tried to find out where that expression came from. And some say that the origin of that expression came from the world of chess. They say that it comes from the fact that when one player makes a great move and gains a victory over another player, then it is said that the table has turned. Some say that it comes from playing cards, that when one player is dealt a hand that puts him at an advantage. Suddenly, the tables have been turned. Other people that have watched way too many Western movies say that it comes from the fact that two people are at the table and the enemy poisons the other guy's drink. And when he turns his back, he turns the tables on him and switches the drink. So that's where the table has been turned comes from. I don't really know, but here is what I do know. I know that the meaning of the tables being turned are pretty clear. It's the idea that a situation has suddenly shifted in the opposite direction, so that the person who has been oppressed now has the advantage over their opponent. If you look in our text tonight, our text reminds us that God is able at any time to turn the tables in our life. At any time, God is able to come on the scene and to rescue his people and turn the tables. If you will, turn your attention back to Esther chapter 9, if you will, in verse 1. Notice what it says in that. It says, "But now the tables were turned and the Jews got the upper hand." I'm going to speak prophetically tonight, knowing that I am under the anointing and unction of Almighty God. I am going to speak tonight and tell you that the Lord has told me tables are about to turn and situations are about to turn and circumstances are about to turn. Why? Because God has spoken it. I didn't come tonight with this word just from man. I come with the word from God to encourage you that the tables of some situations are about to turn. You say, "Pastor, what does that mean?" I believe that some health issues are about to turn around. I believe that some financial issues are about to turn around. I believe that some closed doors, the situation is about to turn around and God's gonna open the door. May I remind you that though it seems bleak, and there was a story that I'm reminded of, there was some lepers and they were starving and it looked like they had nothing to eat. But the word of the Lord came and said, "Though you've been through a famine, I'm gonna tell you by this time tomorrow, there's going to be plenty of barley and plenty of flour." And there was one doubter, and he said, "Even if the windows of heaven were opened up, how could this thing be?" And the prophet looked at him and said, "Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to get to hear about it, but you're not going to get to partake of it." I stand under the anointing tonight, and I remind you that no matter how dark your situation may look, you may feel like you've been in a famine for the last 3 years. But when God opens up the windows of heaven, he knows how to turn the tables for your good. Somebody give God your best praise right now. No, praise him, really. Praise him right now and thank him. If you think about it, this is something, turning the tables is something that God indicates in Scripture that actually gives him great pleasure. Look at Psalm chapter, I believe it is 9 and verse 15. This is the NIV. It says, "The nations have fallen into the pit that they have dug. Their feet are caught into the net that they have hidden." Again, the nations have fallen into the pit that they dug. They dug it for the people of God, but they fell into it themselves. They set a net to catch the people of God, but they fell in their own net. Brothers and sisters, you wouldn't think that if you set a trap, you would forget where you set the trap. But can I tell you that God can cause a person to forget? They set their own trap and they walk right into it. When God gets ready to turn the tables, it does not matter what you are facing. My God can do it. Here's what it says in verse 16. "The Lord is known by his acts of justice. The wicked Say this with me. The wicked are ensnared by the work of their own hands. One of the great lessons that we get from the book of Esther is this, that God is able to turn the tables. He's able to do it suddenly. He's able to do it unexpectedly. And he's able to do it completely. To change the situation of those who are oppressed and in utter despair into a situation of favor and overwhelming joy for his people. God is able to bring the wickedness of ungodly people and bring that wickedness upon their own heads and set his people in positions of honor and authority. I said this many times. You can be the least qualified, but God can take you and put favor upon your life, and you can get a position that money couldn't even buy. Can I preach here for a few minutes? May I remind you that the prisoner called Joseph didn't have any money, but he got what money couldn't buy because he had the favor of God. And in one day, after a long season of weeping, it changed. And God took him from a place with no money and no position to a place of divine favor. I want to tell you, God is about to turn the tables for some people in this house tonight. It doesn't matter how bad it looks. It doesn't matter what the devil's been doing. I'm here to prophesy that the tables are about to turn. Somebody give God praise for that tonight. So look at the different ways here now that God is able to turn the tables. If you don't know the story of Esther, maybe if you're new or you haven't been in church a lot, I would really encourage you to read the story of Esther. It's a fascinating story, but I'm just going to hit some highlights. Remember, if you will, those who know the story, that the decree that the evil man Haman had manipulated the king into signing, it was a decree that all the Jewish people were to be destroyed, including the women and the children, and all of their possessions were to be plundered. Again, if you look at Esther 9 and 1, it says that on the 13th day of the 12th month of Adar, the edict commanded by the king was to be carried out. And on this day, the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them. But now, everybody say now, now the tables were turned. See, God turned the tables and allowed Queen Esther to expose the plot of Haman to the king. And then the king realized that he had been fooled and tricked into signing this. And this was going to be the very thing that destroyed his queen's people. He didn't really realize it. He had been tricked into it. But now look at the story. Haman, this wicked Haman, had been hanged on the very gallows that he had built for Mordecai. And yet he didn't even see it coming. But in one day's time, God orchestrated all the events so all the people would be at the right place at the right time. Brothers and sisters, if you don't believe being at the right place at the right time, read the book of Esther. I'm telling you, it was like clockwork. The right person showed up at the right time and the right words were spoken. And then the king said, hey, I didn't know that. And then all of a sudden the events started turning. I'm here to prophesy to somebody. The tables are starting to turn even tonight in your situation. It's turning. And now the king was able to write a counter decree that allowed the Jewish people to protect themselves on that very same day. So the day of the 13th of Adar now started the tables turning. Here's the first point. It was a day of victory for those who had been destined to become victims. That's the first point. One day they're a victim. Same day they're a victor. Nobody can do that but God. One day you're starving. Same day, God opens up the windows of heaven. Who am I preaching to tonight? I want you to leave out of this house and I want you to confess that the tables are turning in my health. They're turning in my family. They're turning on my job. They're turning in my finances. You say, Pastor, you're just trying to hype me up. No, I'm really not. I'm telling you what the Lord told me to tell you. I don't get up here and say that every Sunday because he don't tell me that every Sunday. I'm here to tell you the Lord told me to tell you the tables are turning. Start thanking him right now as though it's already happened. I need a little time to preach. Boy, I really like Ryan. I could listen to him all night. In fact, tonight I thought I was going to. You know what? I was going to say that, and then I said, no, I'm not going to say that. And then I'm like, that's just too good. I got to say it. I love him. He's got such a great sense of humor. He's a promoter. Ryan and Jacqueline, it's a blessing to have you in TPC. We're honored to have you. You're such a blessing. Let's get back into the word. Look at Esther chapter 4 and verse 3. Let me show you something here. This is what it says. In every providence where the king's command and decree arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews. Now, we're backing up here because we're wanting you to see something. So we're digressing just a little bit. In chapter 4 and verse 3, when Haman issued this decree, unbeknownst to the king, then when they all got it, there was 127 providences under this king. And when they went and took this decree to all 127 providences, the Bible says that there was great mourning among the Jews. They started fasting, they were weeping, and they were wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Now, this is not a big deal to you, but if somebody came to your house and said, guess what? On the 13th day of March, your whole house is going to be destroyed. I guarantee you, you'd start doing some fasting and praying. I guarantee you, you'd start doing some crying because you're like, my babies, what's going to happen here? And this is exactly where they were at. So there was a total attitude of fear that dominated the land and it dominated the Jewish people. Untold millions of Jews were scheduled to be slaughtered throughout the world on that known day. But now, look how the tables are turned. Look at chapter 9 and verse 2. Now let's go from 4 to 9. The tables are turned. Check this out. No one could stand against them. Who's it talking about? It's talking about the Jews now. Because the people of all the other nationalities were afraid of them. Here's the second point. God turned the tables so that those who were once afraid became those who were now feared. Man, if that don't ring your bell, your clapper's broke. Now think about it. In chapter 4, they're weeping, they're wailing. They're afraid, they're in sackcloth, they're in ashes. And then in chapter 9, those who were so afraid are now become the people that are feared. Can I tell you and remind you that when God turns the tables, you go from being afraid to saying, you better look out, devil, and the devil's ducking. Because you know that if God be for you, then who can be against you? Because you know that God's on your side. It just reminds me of little David. If you would have went out on that battlefield and looked at little David and looked at big old Goliath, you'd be like, he don't have a chance. But when God goes for you, and God goes before you. He said, look, I don't come to you in a big old sword or shield or spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. And a little old bitty rock that God put a laser on went right into that giant's forehead. And everybody that was cheering and not afraid all of a sudden become afraid. And the Bible says they took out and they started running. And those who were afraid now became feared and they start running after them. Can I tell you that there is a God that loves to slay the giants in your life? I gotta hurry. Here's the third thing. When God turned the tables, those who were about to bring destruction got destroyed. Those who were about to bring destruction. Haman was so close to bringing destruction, but God said, no, not today. That ain't happening today. These are my chosen people, and you're not going to touch them. So guess what? Your whole plot's about to be unfolded, and I'm just going to reveal some things. And you thought that you were going to destroy, but guess what? We're going to do the old switcheroo. And you know those gallows that you had for Mordecai? They're waiting on you. You know that pit that you dug for Mordecai? You're going to get put in it. You know that snare that you put for Mordecai? You're going to find yourself in that own snare. I'm here to just encourage somebody. The snare that somebody laid on your job for you, they're going to find themselves in that snare. Somebody been gossiping and telling some stuff that aren't true, that's not true about you. Guess what? It's going to come full circle. And they may be the one to get fired, and you may be the one to get a raise. Because that's how God works, ladies and gentlemen. When God turns the tables, somebody give God some praise in this house. Look at Matthew. Here we go, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. It tells us in that particular passage to bless those. The Bible says, bless those, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you. Now, in the Old Testament, they did an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That was the custom. That was the way. Today, we're not under that dispensation. We don't go and literally take out our enemy like they did. In today's dispensation, this dispensation is time period called grace. This is how we operate. We love our enemies, though it's hard. We love our enemies. We pray for those who despitefully use us. The Bible says this, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Listen, brothers and sisters, I'm going to take a side note. It just come to me right now. I'm going to take a side note. Let me just encourage you on something. You know, even when Saul was wrong, he was a man of God that was anointed and he was totally wrong. But when David came in there just to cut the cloth, his heart smote him. You know why? Because God was teaching David some things through Saul's disobedience. And really, Saul was helping David become the man that he needed to become. And it wasn't, God wasn't looking to David to take him out. Oh, y'all gonna get quiet on me now. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, you know what? That even though there may be some people that are wrong, and then it seems like they come right into your path and you could take them out, don't do that. Let God handle that. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Are you with me here? Consider what it says in Proverbs 28 and 10. Whoever leads the upright along an evil path will fall into their own trap. That's exactly what Haman did. He fell into his own trap. God did it. Mordecai didn't have to do it. Mordecai didn't have to do it. If Mordecai would have done it, it would have been blood on his hands. But God said, look, I'm going to do what I told you not to do. Think about that. God says, don't take vengeance on them. But he said, I can do what I told you not to do because I'm going to do it the right way. And then you get out scot-free. That blood's not on you. Listen, one of the greatest things you can do for your enemy is to pray for them. You say, Pastor, how do I know when I'm really doing good? Here's how. When you can bless them and you can call them by name and mean it. Say, God, I want you to bless them coming in and I want you to bless them going out. God, I want you to bless them in the city and bless them in the country. Now you're starting to get somewhere. But when you try to take care of it, God said, you're going against my word. Don't do that. Vengeance is mine. And can I tell you, God knows how to turn the tables, ladies and gentlemen. One day you're suffering. One day you look like you're going to be destroyed. And the very next day, you're the one that's got the advantage because God has turned the tables. Now look at verse 4, 9 and 4. Look at verse 9 and 4. Here's what the Bible says. If you read this passage, you know that once upon a time, Mordecai was looked down upon by Haman. He was just disgusted by him. But here again, there was a time when the king couldn't sleep. And he said, would y'all mind bringing the scriptures to me? I just can't sleep tonight. And so it just so happened. Just so happened that the scribe who was reading the scroll opened it up and started talking about the time that Mordecai spared the king's life and the king didn't even know it. And he said, what have we done for this Mordecai? Said, King, we hadn't done anything to honor him. And the king gave a command to Haman. He said, Haman, what would you do for the man that has spared my life? And what would you do to honor him and this and that? And Haman thought, man, there's nobody greater than me. Surely all this is going to come to me. And he told the king what he thought he should do. And guess what God did? He turned the tables. He said, hey, that's a great idea, Haman. Would you mind doing that for Mordecai? And all of a sudden, this despised Mordecai became esteemed. And when you read it in this passage, this is what it says. Mordecai was prominent in the palace. His reputation spread throughout the provinces, and he became more and more powerful. See, God knows how to turn the weak into the powerful. God knows how to turn the tables to secure those who had been insecure, didn't know what tomorrow was going to hold. But God said, I'm holding your tomorrows, and I'm going to show you how I can work in your life, even though you can't see it right now. I've got to hasten. So then you read and you find out that the decree was issued that the Jews could protect themselves. And so the Jews went in and they killed 510 men. 510 men. They killed Haman, and it was probably like 510 people that were close to him. And then as you read the word of God, Esther went in and said, you know what? I would like Haman and his sons to be hanged. So you ask the question, they're already killed. Why would she want them hung? Well, I think the answer is this. Probably to make it abundantly clear that those who were still sympathetic to Haman, that the Jews, the people of the queen, had come under the king's protection and favor. And I think it was just another sign to them, don't mess with the Jews. Don't mess with the queen. Don't mess, because now the king's protection is out there. And if you do something stupid, you're going to pay for it. After this, the Bible says that the Jews killed 75,000 people. 75,000. But it's important to know a couple of things. Though 75,000 is a staggering number of deaths, it's not nearly the number that Haman and his people wanted to do, because they literally wanted to wipe out millions of Jews. And God said, no, I'm not going to allow it. So these people, I suspect, that got killed, stay with me, I suspect that they were Amalekites, because the Amalekites, that whole tribe came from Agag. And that's what Haman was. He was one of the Amalekites from the king of Agag. And I think that probably what happened is that entire tribe got vengeance brought on them, because if you'll remember in the Old Testament, God had told King Saul, I want you to take out King Agag, and I don't want you to spare the women, the men. I don't want you to spare the animal. You take nothing for yourself. And yet Saul failed to obey God's word. And now this is coming back to bite his people. And God is saying, I'm going to tell you something. I didn't get you the first go around because my man didn't obey you. But this go around, we're going to get you, because I had commanded that to happen a long time ago. Does that make sense? And so God turned the table. And here's my last point. Those who had been oppressed were now those who were praising. Here's what Isaiah 63:1 says. The day of vengeance of our God. To do what? To comfort those who mourn. To give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. The oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. I'm standing on the word of God tonight. Hallelujah. And I am here to proclaim that somebody walked in with a garment of despair, but God's going to give you a cloak of praise. And you're going to walk out of here tonight. You're not going to walk out in sadness and despair. You're going to walk out with the oil of joy and saying, I know that God is on my side. Somebody give God some praise in this house. Do you know that to this very day, the Jewish people celebrate the Feast of Purim? It's around March the 20th and the 21st. To this very day, they still celebrate when the tables were turned on the Jewish people, and what looked like destruction, God turned it and they were able to destroy. What looked like a hopeless situation, God turned the tables. Now here's the greatest table turning story of them all. Satan had sought to bring about the ruin of mankind. He caused our first parents, Adam and Eve, to fall in the garden through the disobedience to God. And through that, he thought that he had the upper hand. But there was one that was going to come through a virgin. And there's a prophecy in the book of Genesis, if I'm not mistaken, chapter 3. And he says, you know what? There's going to be one that's going to come, and he's going to bruise your heel, but you're going to bruise his head. And in Romans chapter 16 and verse 20, Paul writes, he said, there's a day coming shortly when God's going to use your feet to bruise the head of Satan. What looked like, ladies and gentlemen, the worst defeat. Here's what the scripture said. Had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had the devil known what he was doing, he would have never done it. But he thought, this is the worst defeat that could ever be. But 3 days later, God turned a crucifixion into a resurrection, and the cross becomes the greatest plus symbol that the world has ever seen. I'm here to prophesy, God is turning the table. Stand to your feet. Put your hands up in the air and claim that right now. Come on, claim it, TPC. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm here to encourage you tonight. When God turns the table around to favor you, your background becomes immaterial. When God turned the table, it didn't matter that Esther was just a little orphan girl. Now she was queen. When God turned the table, it didn't matter that David was just a little shepherd boy. He made him king over his people. Can I just encourage someone tonight? Listen. Your background is not an issue with God. So don't allow people to make an issue out of it. Promotion, favor, making heaven has nothing to do with your background. It has everything to do with divine mercy and favor, because God knows how to change all of that. Nobody in this room tonight, no one, should go through life miserable because you messed up, because you made some bad choices in your past. God can turn the tables. And God takes misfits and he makes them kings. And yes, I know it's cliche, but it's worth saying again. And God takes zeros and makes them heroes. God wants to turn the table in your life starting tonight. Say, Pastor, what does that mean? I believe it means he's going to turn some health issues. I believe it means he's going to turn some financial issues. I believe it means those that have been suffering from depression, God's going to turn it and give you the garment of praise for that old spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. Would you just turn to your neighbor if it...
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.